بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. باب النهي عن البخل والشح. قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى. وقال تعالى: ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. وأما الأحاديث فتقدم جملة منها في باب السابق. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، واتقوا الشح فإن الشح أهلك من كان قبلكم، حملهم على أن سفكوا دماءهم واستحلوا محارمهم. رواه مسلم. As we mentioned, this is a very brief chapter, but continuing with the discussion we began yesterday, this chapter deals with the prohibition with regards to miserliness. And the second term which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought was washuh. As we mentioned, it's a more deeper form of miserliness, or sometimes the translation can be made of shuh as being greed. The verse of the Quran from Surah Wal-Layl that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought: وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. With regards to those who are miserly and indifferent and reject the most beautiful word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, soon we will make it easy for them towards difficulty to adopt traits of grief and hardship and misery. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. And as they are falling towards their destruction, the wealth will be of absolutely no avail to them. One principle ulama ikram mention is, they say, ثَوَابُ الْحَسَنَ الْحَسَنَ بَعْدَهَا. That there are certain good deeds that have this effect, that they cause a person to perpetuate in good deeds. When you adopt these deeds, then we find it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's principle that through these deeds, Allah ta'ala makes it easier for you to do more good deeds. And conversely, there are certain acts which a person does which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that perpetuate and lead towards even further acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's disobedience. And we find that in this verse of the Quran, one such practice is alluded to, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who will be miserly, first thing that is mentioned is miserliness, which is in keeping with the chapter that deals with the prohibition of miserliness. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wastaghna, and they are indifferent. With regards to what they are indifferent to, in this context, ulama ikram have mentioned, or the mufassirin have mentioned, they are indifferent to the great, great rewards which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for spending in charity. When a person's excessive love for dunya blinds him, and it grips him to such an extent that now he feels that he is no more in need of doing those great actions which will earn him rewards in the akhirat, is independent of that. Istighna, wastaghna, indifferent, independent to the great rewards which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, such is the effect of his excessive love for wealth that he believes that he is not in need of that reward. And the third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, which is obviously the root cause or one of the causative factors, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And this person does not believe, or he rejects. The word husna, in this context we will translate it as the most beautiful word, al-husna. Now what is meant by the most beautiful word? One general interpretation ulama ikram give is the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the verses of the Quran, etc. But a more specific translation of Al-Husna in this context will be Kalima-i-Tayyiba. That is, this person rejects the Kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when these three things come together, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, this person is miserly, he is indifferent to the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the great rewards that he will get in the hereafter. He rejects the kalima. One other interpretation of Al-Husna, ulama ikram give, is Jannah. He rejects Jannat itself. Then Allah ta'ala says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, we will make it easy for him to adopt traits of grief, of suffering, of misery. Not only in akhirat, in dunya also. His life in this world will become tight and narrow. So this, in this verse of the Quran, there is a great warning of the impediments of giving free rein to miserliness. Where a person, Allah Ta'ala is in fact telling us that if you are miserly and you are going to be indifferent towards our promises, then this will lead you to more acts of transgression. This will lead you to destroying your akhirat also, and it will lead you towards the destruction of your dunya. So this is why we have to be very, very careful in this regard. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Earlier verses before this, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, that person who gives, who is generous, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, believes in the promised word, believes in the kalima, believes in Jannah, etc. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, we will make the road to Jannah easier for him. Here Allah Ta'ala is saying the road to Jahannam will be made easy. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, the road towards destruction will be made easy. So such is the negative effect, such is the harmful effect of giving free rein to miserliness. The second verse of the Quran, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings in this context, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Before we go further with the second verse, there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the first verse, which has to do with taqdeer, but it's not a discussion at this point that it is pertinent for us to go into details of right now. At some other occasion, if there is opportunity or if it is deemed required, then we will discuss that. In any case, coming to the second verse, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that person who is saved, that person who is saved from the excessive greed of his soul, such a person, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, without a doubt, such people will be successful. In other words, those who are protected from miserliness of the soul, shukha nafsi, those who are protected from miserliness of the soul, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, these are indeed the successful ones. Mujahid and others, other interpreters of the verses of the Quran, accepted interpreters of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they explain what is meant by shuhha nafsihi. They say that person who discharges his zakat and he does not usurp the wealth of others, he does not take what is not his right and he discharges his zakat, such people have been saved from the greed of the soul, and Allah Ta'ala says they will be the successful ones. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives a more specific explanation of shuhha nafsihi. He says, those people who are saved from aklu malin nas bil batil. In other words, they do not eat up the haqq and the right of the wealth of other people. They stay away from haram in their earnings. These are the people who have been saved from the miserliness of the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, these will be the successful people. After mentioning, like I said, this was a very brief chapter. After mentioning just two verses of the Quran, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, وَأَمَّا الْأَحَادِيثِ فَتَقَدَّمَتْ جُمْلَةٌ مِّنْهَا فِي الْبَابِ السَّابِقِ. He says, majority or quite a few of the ahadith dealing with this madhammat or the denigration of miserliness have already passed in the chapter which preceded. As we mentioned, the chapter which preceded dealt with generosity. So wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted us to generosity, in the same hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would warn us of the harms of miserliness. Example, وَأَنْتُمْ سِكَهُ شَرٌ لَكُ. We find in the hadith that passed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you hold on to wealth, if you do not spend it in the way of Allah ta'ala, شَرٌ لَكُ. It is shar, it is evil for you, it is harmful for you. Likewise, the hadith which passed, where the angels make dua for those who are generous, and on the other hand, we are told that every day the angels make dua, Allahumma baddu'a, Allahumma aati mumsikan talafa. That, O Allah, those who hold on to their wealth and those who hoard their wealth, Ya Allah, destroy such people. We mentioned quite a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us or told us of the great harms of being a miserly person. One more example of that, we find in one riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Thalathum muhlikat. He said, there are three things, muhlikat, which will destroy you. Which will actually destroy you. And one of them, shuhum muta'. That is a very, very high level of miserliness, wherein you give in to the dictates of being a miserly person. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is something that will actually destroy a person. We've already run out of time, but just briefly to translate the hadith. This hadith passed previously, but there is some detail, which inshallah we'll carry on with later. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you look at the evocative wording of the hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses the word ittaqo. In other words, save yourself from this. Fear this. He said, ittaqo dhul. Fear zulam. Fear being an oppressor, a zalim in any form. Why? فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, ظُلْم, oppression of any form, will take on a manzar or a scene or a form of intense darkness. ظُلُمَات. ظُلْم is singular, ظُلُمَات is plural. In other words, many, many forms of darkness. ظُلْم, being an oppressor, transgressing upon the rights of people, will lead to many, many forms of darkness on the day of judgment. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَاتَّقُ الشُّحْ. Fear miserliness. So the same word that's used, fear zulm, fear miserliness. Ulama mentioned, interestingly, miserliness is one form of oppression.